Morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath again. It is great to be here. It's great to be in a church in person rather than watching stuff online and, clicking next. I guess the advantage of being online is that if it was on YouTube or something like that, you can speed it up to 1.5 times, and that way I get through the content a bit quicker. Because Josh, when he was texting me, said, I've got 3 hours to fill. I'll do my best. No, I'm kind of joking. He said that you're focusing on community at the moment. Is that right? Sweet. You're focusing on community. And at Nunawading Christian College this year, we have a theme of kingdom culture. And he said that the community theme that you guys are looking at, the kingdom culture would nest quite well into it. And so this morning I thought I would unpack what a kingdom culture would look like. And for me, it's very exciting. I don't know about you guys, when you hear kingdom culture, whether you get excited or not, but I do. I get excited about kingdom culture. However, I had a moment during the week that I would just want to get off my chest. I had a moment during the week because I went down to play cricket with the Year 9 boys on the basketball court, because that's where you play cricket, righto? And so we're down on the basketball court, and I grew up playing cricket, under 15s, made finals, all that kind of stuff. And so I consider myself a cricketer. And I'm down on the basketball court playing cricket with the boys, and the trash talk starts happening. They're 14, and they're trash talking. And it was my turn to bat. And so I pick up the bat. It's a couple of sizes too small, and I'm at the crease ready to go, and the wicketkeeper just starts talking in my ear. And he goes, oh, sir, we didn't even know you could play cricket. Yeah, I can play cricket. Go all right. And he goes, sir, I bet you're all right back in the day. And I just went, back in the day. Back in the day, I don't know, that just got under my skin. And so the next ball that got delivered, I just try and lift it out of the school and hit the conference office. But I did connect. It didn't quite go where I wanted to, but the kids were still in awe. That was pretty good. But back in the day, at the moment, if there's any a phrase that we can connect with, it's back in the day, especially with COVID stuff. You know, back in the day when we didn't have to wear masks. Back in the day when you could actually go out to the shops that weren't in your 5K radius. Back in the day when you could, speak to someone without... We need subtitles. Back in the day, it just got on my goat. And then I went home and started talking to my wife about how this kid said back in the day and said, am I old? And she turns around and goes, yes. But back in the day when you could travel, here we go. Back in the day when you could travel, my wife and I went over to Croatia and we went to a little town called Split. I don't know if anyone's been there, a few nods in the audience. We went to a little place called Split, and we stayed in a hotel that was in the corner of Diocletian's palace. So we're talking like first century, second century. This wall is still there, and they've built a hotel out of it. It's awesome. And so we were staying there, and we did what every good tourist does, and that is we went on one of the walking tours. So we Googled, we found where this walking tour met, and it was down in this sort of, I don't know, square area of the courtyard. And so my wife and I are there, bright and early, a beautiful day outside. It was in winter. It was the warmest winter that Europe had in the last decade or whatever else. There was no snow. It was really weird. We were hoping for a white Christmas. Didn't happen. And we were in Split, coastal, beautiful. And the tour starts, and off we go. And the tour guide is doing an amazing job telling us about this rock, someone did something, this brick, well, it was something else. And then we came to a statue, and then always on the statues over there, there's a part of the statue that's shinier than the rest because everyone wants to touch that particular part. This one was actually the big toe of the saint. And so it was gold, the rest of it was sort of discolored. And we kept on going around, and we finished the tour at the Bell Tower. And the Bell Tower is sort of, it used to be in the center of town, but now it's sort of off to the side. But it's this beautiful marble-looking, sandstone-type tower. And it's absolutely fantastic to look at. But then the tour guide said the dreaded words of, "You know you can climb that? You know you can go up the top of it. You pay whatever it is, and then you walk up the stairs, you can go and have a look at the view from the top." And I went, "Beauty. Awesome." I don't like heights. Heights and I do not get along. And funnily enough, my wife turns to me and goes, "We're only here once. You got to do it." And I'm just like, "Oh, do we? I'll wave. I'll wave from the bottom." But anyway, she talked me into it, as she has the ability to do. And we paid to get our ticket, and we walked into the door, and we started going up. And I've climbed lighthouses and stuff like that. The stairs are good, all good. And down the bottom, the stairs were perfect. When you start getting to the top, it's almost as if it's original. These stairs are rickety. There's a safety rail that is the width of my little finger, and it's along the edge of the stairs, and the stairs are all uneven and everything like that. And I'm just messing myself as I'm walking up these stairs because it is literally straight down on the other side. Shaking, all of that, taking five steps, take a breath, five steps, take a breath. I was really, really messy at this point. Sweat, everything. And my wife makes it to the top first. I finally get to the top, and I understand what the tour guide was saying as soon as I reach the top. There's these little windows that you look out, and you can just see the bay, you can see everything. You look back towards town, and it's just beautiful, white, marble, sandstone, everything just beautiful, contrasting with people's washing that's hanging out and all of that. It's just magnificent. And there's something that sticks out because the tour guide said you need to go to the top of the Bell Tower purely to see our culture. And I didn't get it. I had no idea what she was talking about until I stood at the top of the Bell Tower and looked out and saw the way the people lived. I saw their culture. I saw part of it. And she said that you won't be able to fit in to the culture until you go to the top. Everyone's been to the top. I got it when I got to the top. I got it when it got to the top. This morning we're going to hang out in the book of Luke for a little bit. But before we do, I want to submit a little sort of definition for you. And that is, the kingdom community or kingdom culture is when we walk and talk with the kingdom of heaven in mind. We create a kingdom culture when we, here we go, wait for it, when we pray for it, when we look for it, and we live with it in mind. We create a kingdom culture. Pray for it, look for it, and live with it in mind. As soon as you start talking about community, as soon as you start talking about culture and stuff, the first thing that comes to mind for me was the Lord's Prayer. And not even the whole Lord's Prayer, but it just the little start of it. So if you go to, if you turn to your Bibles, flick on your phones, do whatever you do to get into the Word, it is on the screen. It says, the disciples were asking Jesus how to pray, and he simply turns to them, and I want to just read verse 2. That's all I want to read with you this morning from Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And I'm using the NIV version. And it says, he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come." So if we're talking about a kingdom culture here this morning, this sort of fits exactly right into the niche of what we want to talk about this morning. We want to invite a kingdom culture in with us today. And without speaking anymore, I'd like to invite God to be with us, invite the Spirit to be with us today as we further progress into the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we invite you here. We invite the Spirit of God to move freely. We invite you here so that we can be, we can see, we can be the culture that you want us to be, the community that you want us to be here. Lord, thank you for everything you do for us. Most of all, thank you for the gift of your Son. We love you. Can't wait to see you in your name. Amen. So the kingdom culture that Jesus was talking about here, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven to come down. And Jesus came to earth to bring us, or to bring the disciples, to bring us, 2,000 years later, he came to give us a slice of that kingdom of heaven, that kingdom culture. He gave us, and he came to give us an example of the kingdom culture. You guys don't have to, but I'm just going to jump across to Luke chapter chapter 4 and verse 43. And it says this, but he said, I proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. It's quite clear in Luke's gospel in chapter 4 that Jesus was sent to show us simply the kingdom. The kingdom. He came to show us a kingdom culture. And our job here as a church, our job as an Adventist community, our job is to bring a slice of that kingdom culture to our community. It's to bring a slice of that kingdom culture to our greater community, to Dandenong, to Victoria, to New South Wales, to Australia, to the world. It's in the Great Commission. It's here. It's our job to show a kingdom culture, a kingdom community, and what that means to live in a kingdom culture. So what is culture? What is community? A simple definition that I found or manipulated in a little bit was a community or kingdom culture or culture is a specific way of walking and talking. When we were doing the tour over in Split, the tour guide, she said, you can't experience the culture until you go up the top of the bell tower. A specific way of walking and talking. Something specific that doesn't exist anywhere else. Each little subsection of schools, each little subsection of churches, all that kind of stuff, has their own culture, their own specific way of walking and talking. Even quite simply, walking in onto a basketball court, all of a sudden the language changes, the feel changes, all of a sudden there's a different culture. You know, walking into your house after you go home from church and you take the long sleeve shirt off, you put some comfy shorts on and a singlet or whatever else, all of a sudden there's a different culture at home to what there is at church. A specific way of walking and talking. I call myself an IT nerd. Just helping out around the place. I've got a media background, and for some reason someone thought they'd employ me as an IT person. No idea. I can use them. Don't know anything about them. But you walk through an IT office, and the language that they use in an IT office is so weird. They, you know, megabit, gigabit, all of that kind of stuff. And go back even more. You got kilobytes. I remember when there was kilobytes, not even ridiculous terminologies. You got drives, you got the cloud. Who understands the cloud? No one. You've got all these kinds of things. And that's just walking into an IT office. You walk into a theology classroom at college and all of a sudden you're speaking in Greek and Hebrew and all this kind of stuff. You're talking totally different. You walk into, I don't know, the MCG when the footy's playing or whatever, another different culture. They're all talking, they all walk funny and all that kind of stuff, but it's all different. There's a specific way of walking and talking. And this morning, or this afternoon, I want to share with you that specific way that we need to walk and talk is quite simple. Ready? Here's the main ingredient. Just put Jesus right in the middle of it. If you put Jesus right into the middle of the community, if you put Jesus right in the middle of your culture, all of a sudden, people will take note. People will notice. We're gonna fly through into Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. And it's an interesting little story, just sort of placed in Luke chapter 21. And it's at the start of Luke 21. And it says this is again the NIV version. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put two very small copper coins. Some translations will say two mites. Two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. And all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Just a simple little story from chapter 21 of Luke. Two groups of people, two cultures. They would have been big cultural differences back in that time. You got very wealthy and you've got very poor, and the two of them were uniting, the two of them were amalgamating at church, at the synagogue, and you've got the guys that have it made, they have it sorted, and they would have made a big deal about what they're putting into the offering plate at that time, or the offering bag, and they're sort of shaking their bags as they're walking along. You can hear the coins rattling together as they sort of lift it a bit higher off the plate, and so the coins fall onto the plate and you can hear them hitting it. Oh, that would have been about 20 coins. That guy's got it sorted out. And you got this old lady, sort of hunched over, head covered, walks in and just quietly places the two mites, the two copper coins, on the plate. Two totally different cultures. And Jesus points out, and I've put it in yellow there, Jesus points out, she put in all she had. I've already submitted to you what the main ingredient is, and that's Jesus, right smack bang in the middle of the community, in the middle of the culture. But then there's another ingredient that we need to add. There's another ingredient that we need to add, and that simply is us. That simply is us. And then he doesn't just want our arm, he doesn't just want our leg. Paul talks about it in the New Testament. He doesn't just want little pieces of us, he wants us to put in all of us. He wants to put all of us in. He doesn't just want our gift of speaking. He doesn't just want our gift of music. He doesn't want everything. He wants every facet of our lives simply to represent him, to simply fill our community, to simply fill our culture, to make it so we walk and talk with the heart of Jesus at our hearts. Two main ingredients. Two main ingredients. That's all well and good. And we can sit here, we can read that, I can understand that and all that kind of stuff, but the harder question to answer is the how. The harder question to answer is the how. And once again, I got schooled by a school kid. Because I was sitting on a bus coming back from a storm car in Queensland, and I was talking to one of my students I was driving a bus, he was sitting shotgun in the passenger seat, and we're just talking. Everyone else was sleeping. He was awake. His job was to keep me awake. And we were just talking about all kinds of stuff. And I said, Ryan, mate, when you're finding it hard to connect, what do you do? And it was just silence for a little bit, just the sound of the road going past. He simply looks up and just goes, well, if I'm connecting with my friends, I give one of them a call. If I'm connecting with my mum and dad, I just go out into the lounge room and sit and talk with mum and dad. And if I'm connecting with people at church and whatever else, once again, I just give them a call. And then I said, Ryan, that's all well and good, but what happens when you're sort of finding it hard to connect with Jesus? When you're finding it hard to make a connection with what the Bible says and all that kind of stuff? Oh, that's easy. And I went, wow, okay, that's easy. How? Tell me. Please, enlighten me, Ryan. And he goes, well, sit and listen to praise and worship music, read my Bible and pray. Oh, awesome. Thanks, mate. There's something to it. There's something to what he said. It's that simple. Listen to praise and worship music, read my Bible, spend time in prayer. But he said it in such a way that was sort of like, duh. You're meant to be the pastor. I'm like, oh, right. Thanks. Spending time is a huge thing. It's what develops a community. It's what develops a culture, is the time put into it. I don't know, April last year, my daughter was born, April 3, Matilda Grace. And she's an awesome little kid, runs around and all of that. But because of COVID, we didn't get to have the visitors, we didn't get to do all that. It was in the first round of lockdown last year that we had Matilda. And so I was lucky enough that I was allowed to stay in the hospital room with my wife and Matilda, but there was others that weren't so lucky. And we're extremely blessed through the whole process. But when we were able to come out into the real world with Matilda, you'd stand in a group, and I used to laugh like nothing else. You'd stand in a group, and Courtney would be holding Matilda, and she's only little and young and whatever else, but Courtney would be doing this. And standing in a group of people, Courtney's doing this, and I thought, all right, a little psychological test here. I also started doing this. And then the other people around the circle, most of them, there was a couple that didn't, there was a couple of them that in the end, by the end of the whole conversation, and I kept throwing in new conversation topics every now and then, but by the end of it, they're all doing this with us. It was fantastic. And it was great to mess with people's head. But something as simple as that can change a culture. Something as simple as that can change a culture. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat, a ferry, or I'm sorry, camera guys, if I'm moving around too much, or something like that. And you're sitting there, and you've got people that get seasick. You've got people that can handle it. You've got people that just feel queasy, whatever else. As soon as you add another element into it, the whole boat changes. The whole boat ride changes for someone. They can go from, yep, I'm fine, but if you start rocking, that inertia sort of sits in, and then the whole boat ride changes for that person. That's all it takes to change a culture. It's all it takes to change a culture. And Jesus came, when he came down here to earth, he came to what? Give us a slice of the kingdom of heaven. He came to give us a slice of the kingdom of heaven. He was that ingredient that got put into the middle of a community, into the middle of a culture, and he changed it. He flipped it on its head like that. He was the key ingredient, and the people around him, the 12 disciples plus whoever else was hanging around, they bought into it. They sold, they put all they had into it, and they became the change of culture that the community needed at that time. The community didn't think they needed it, but they did. Our last bit of scripture this afternoon, we're going to go over to Luke chapter 22. And it's a bit of an odd sort of thing to be reading on a sermon about community and culture. But Luke chapter 22, verses 7 to 38, and there's a bit of reading, but we can skim across a little bit of it. But it's the Last Supper. You've got a bunch of people that rock up to a room to have a feed. And some clown a couple of years later painted it, and now it's like this huge painting and all that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. But anyway, here we go. Verse 7. The day came of unleavened bread, which is the Passover, the lamb, which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left, found things just as Jesus told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand, But the hand of him who is going to betray me is mine on the table. And the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. And the story continues that Judas betrays Jesus, and Jesus gets taken, and we know the rest. The Last Supper. There's an interesting element that Jesus adds here at the Last Supper and throughout his ministry. You see, whenever something exciting, whenever something interesting happens, whenever something to take note happens in the Bible, there's food involved. There's food involved. How do we create community? Well, we invite people over for lunch. We have a barbecue in Australia. We have luncheon, or we used to have luncheons at church, you know, before. Back in the day, before COVID. That's how we create culture. Jesus knew this. Every single time there is something exciting happening, you got feeding the 5,000. He did it again. He fed 4,000 people. There's all sorts of different times where there's food involved. And Jesus here at the end of his ministry is food involved. And it's an exciting time because he is the substitute. He is using ingredients to say that he is the ingredient that we need to build a community, to build a culture. We need to put Jesus in the middle of it. If you go to the Gospel of John, just in wrapping up, if you go to the Gospel of John in the same story, the same time, we find Jesus and John is the only gospel that sort of suggests it. But we find Jesus there, and he's rocked up to this room, and there isn't any servants there. Jesus himself sort of disrobes, and he bends down on his knees, and he washes the disciples' feet, and they would have been disgusting. They would have been gross, and you've probably heard people talk about it up the front. You've probably read about it. You guys know all about the story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And right there is a key element to this whole thing. So we've got ingredients. We've got Jesus right in the center of it. We've got us, which is the next ingredient. But you need a bowl to put that in with. And the bowl to put that in to mix it all around is simply service. As soon as you start serving other people, people take note. As soon as you roll up your sleeves and serve beside someone, people notice a difference. So how do we build a culture or a community? Jesus did it by serving. He served people food. He helped people. He died for us. He's definitely the center of it. When he was here on earth to give us a slice of the kingdom, he gave us an example for us to model. He gave us an example for us to give our community a slice of the kingdom. And as Ryan sort of said, reframed a little bit, How do we get a kingdom community? How do we get a kingdom culture? It's quite simple. We pray for it. We look for it. And we live with it in mind. Let me pray for you all. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the gift of your Son. We just thank you that he was here. You placed him here to give us an example of the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we just pray, we aspire to be members of your kingdom, that when people see us, that they get a reflection of your Son, and that your kingdom, your culture, your community shines through us. May we roll up our sleeves, may we serve our community. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of your Son. We love you. Can't wait to see you in your name. Amen.